these things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me. Look at this now. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, again, we must practice what we know to do.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill continues his series, Essentials of the Heart, with the conclusion to the message, The Peace of God. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
Here's something we need to remember. He's our umpire, amen? Now, listen very carefully. If you don't have a peace about something, don't do it. Do you understand? Don't do it. You know, there's things in our mind says, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. But there's something in here that goes, don't go that direction. Don't take that step. Don't say that word. Don't retaliate. We know the things that we know the things that are written. In other words, we don't have to worry about don't commit adultery. We're not supposed to do that. Amen. But it's the things we don't know what to do. Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? Lord, what do I do? Boy, your mind can tell you a million things, but your heart, the heart of Christ. Listen, don't violate the peace of Christ in your heart. Why? He is our umpire. Our divine umpire. He is our divine counselor. You'll know. You'll just say, this is not right. I know it looks right. I mean, my mind is saying this is right, but I just can't do it. Now, listen. So we have to let the Word of God and the peace of Christ direct umpire our decisions. Amen? Okay. We must also do something else again. We must practice what we know. We must pray. Prayer is so important. Matter of fact, what does it say there in Colossians chapter 4? Just look right down to verse 2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. A thankful heart, praying. You remember what Paul told us about praying, about peace and so forth? Paul said in Philippians 4:6, he said, be anxious for nothing. Amen? I get anxious a lot, don't you? What do I do, Lord? I don't mean that I want my life to be torn apart. That's what that word anxious means. It means anxiety. It means we get our word angina from it. It's like you're just being torn apart by worry. Worry pulls you in so many different directions. Paul said, oh, no, listen, don't do that. I'm talking about our heart right now, the essentials of our heart. I'm talking about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. Paul said, Philippians 4:6, he said, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer. Amen? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, thanking the Father, thanking you, Lord, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. The word prayer there, by prayer, is the word for worship. It means, yes, supplication is more like begging, if you don't mind me saying that, but in other words, we come and worship the Lord. Why? There's no one bigger than God. There's no one that can handle our problems like God. He knows your tomorrow. He knows the next 10 years. He knows everything. We can go to Him. And listen, when we do that, if we'll let our request be known to God, don't be anxious. Don't be torn apart. One of the greatest promises found in the Bible there in Philippians 4:6 and 5, God says, here's the deal. When we do what God says in verse 6 that I just read, listen to what God will do in verse 7. He says this. Here it is. When we let our request be known unto God, He says this, and the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace that God possesses, it says, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, here it is, your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, who is the umpire of our hearts. Now listen, that word guard, you've heard me say it so many times, it means to set a watch, it means to set a military arsenal. In other words, here's what God is saying. When we go to Him, and not being torn apart, saying, Lord, you know what's going on in our life. We don't have to be torn apart. You're our Father in heaven. We're your children. Here's the deal, Lord. I'm laying this request at your feet. God says, okay, you've done that good. You did it with thanksgiving, meaning that you know you can come to me and be thankful. Amen? He says this. God says, now, here's what I'm going to do. God says, here's the promise. I will stand guard over your heart. Do you really believe that? No, I mean really. Do you really believe that when you do that, God does that? Loved one, listen. I believe it with all of my heart. Lord, you're guarding my heart. God is guarding my heart. God is guarding my mind. Why? You've heard me say it so often. Because those are the two areas the devil comes, or the demons come, the powers of darkness come to trouble you. Amen? I mean, there's our problem right here. They're 18 inches apart, or however much that is. You know what I mean? You get messed up here, you get messed up here. You get messed up here, you get messed up there. And I just start thinking about that. And I say, oh, Lord, you're really going to protect me. Yes, Bill. You know why? Because prayer protects. Let me ask you a question. What is better than mental and emotional peace? Millionaires would give all their money for that, just to be at peace, to be at peace. Mentally and in their hearts as well. Listen, peace is found in a person, Jesus, but peace is also found in prayer. You know, I think it's very important that we really think about what God said there in Philippians. We're going to be back in Colossians, but just bear with me. You know, I started thinking about that and pondering that scripture about God, you're going to guard my heart, you're going to guard my mind, and really thinking about it. Now, that doesn't mean, and here's where we get confused. We think that, okay, Lord, now that you've set a military arsenal yourself around my heart and my mind, it means that these circumstances that I'm facing won't come into my life. That's not necessarily true. It means that when these circumstances do come into our hearts, or rather into our life and so forth, you know, that he's going to do something about it. Listen, where did Paul write the book, this little epistle of Colossians? In prison. Thank you. He was in prison. He was chained to a guard 24/7. Listen, Paul was not writing some theory or some kind of theological paper. No, he was writing a fact, man. He knew what he was doing. You know, listen to the scripture from Psalm 73:25. It says, whom have I in heaven but you? Oh, that's a good word. And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. In other words, I want nothing but you, Lord, and for with you I have everything. Amen? And here's what he says. Now listen, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Do you see that? God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, the psalmist says. Now listen, when we're faced with those circumstances, talking about Christ, peace, ruling in our hearts, umpiring in our hearts. Now listen, the circumstances may not be banished, okay? They're coming toward us. God says, I'm going to guard your heart. I'm going to guard your mind. Now listen, the psalmist said, let me read it again. He says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Do you know what that word strength means in Hebrew? It means this, God is the rock in my heart. In other words, no one can, you're not going to mess with a rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation, amen? Our rock is our fortress. He's our strength. Listen, no matter what you are facing in your life, see, we make so many mistakes when circumstances come into our life, and we do not allow, sometimes, most of us, let's just be honest, we have these circumstances coming into our, and we don't allow Jesus to be the umpire of our hearts. We go, oh man, this is bad. This is really bad. God says, no, wait a minute. I'm your strength. I'm your guard. I'm the rock in your heart. Jesus is the divine umpire. Listen to him. That's why we, instead of going through circumstances walk over us, is because we're not allowing Jesus to be the umpire in our hearts. Does that make sense? Man, listen, we should be walking on water, all of us, in a sense. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful. Okay, the thing that I feared, okay, it's going to happen. Lord, what am I going to do? Well, here's what I'm going to do. God says, Bill, there's a circumstance, and here it is, and it's coming. You're going to go through it. You know why? Because I'm going to guard you. I'm going to guard your heart. I'm going to guard your mind. Listen to what Paul continues to say in Philippians 4. He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, whatever things are just, pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, Meditate on these things. Meditate. It doesn't say to think about them. That's not what meditation means. It doesn't say, I'm going to think these. No, it means to literally think them. Not think about them, but literally think them. Jesus is good. Jesus is noble. Jesus is pure. He's lovely. I think I'll just meditate on Jesus. Amen? And if we do that, listen to what happens, Isaiah 26:3. And you, meaning God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Why? Here's the key word. Because he trusts in you. Listen, whatever we allow in our minds, it will affect our heart. The next time you are cross with your spouse or anyone, and it just sets you off. I'm talking about where anger, you know, that anger, and there's the patience is gone. Long suffering is hello. I don't even know what that word means. Can't even spell it, you know. No, whenever you're cross with your spouse, I want you to do something. I've done this. That's why I'm mentioning it tonight. I want you to just stop. Because, you see, in your mind, you've got a whole sentence planned, don't you? Come on, let's be honest. You've got a whole sentence, a paragraph, maybe a novel, I don't know. But the thing is, if you would stop and just listen carefully to what you're thinking and step outside of yourself and just listen to the words that are coming into your mind, the words that you're thinking, if you will do that, if you will stop, it is there that you will find the voice of the enemy speaking to you, speaking to your mind, and whatever you let into your mind is going to affect your heart. For out of the heart proceed or flow the issues of life. Amen? And listen, we have to be careful. So what does Paul tell us to do? He says in Philippians 4:9, he says, these things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me. Look at this now. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, again, we must practice what we know to do. It said, these do in the word. You have to do it. That's our part. It's one thing to learn God's truth. You know what I mean? I mean, it's one thing to learn God's truth, but isn't it quite another to receive his truth? Okay, I know it, but you see, to receive it means to welcome it into your hearts, where it's alive, where it's living, where you know it is. You see, you can know it's a divine truth and never obey it. In other words, we have to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. If we do, we're just deceiving ourselves. In order for the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, the facts of the Word of God which enter our mind, we renew our mind, must come alive and make our way into our hearts. Now, let's turn back to Colossians chapter 3 with me, if you did turn to Philippians. Now, we're going to let the peace of Christ rule, and now the way that we get the Word into our mind is that we're going to let the Word of Christ dwell. Verse 16, let the Word of Christ have ample room. That's what that word means. Or be at home. In other words, to welcome it. So let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly or richly in all wisdom and teaching. That's instructing and admonishing. That's warning one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Those are those songs given by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Singing with grace, or that attitude of gratitude, the giving of thanks. Where? In your hearts to the Lord. In your hearts to the Lord. See, let is our part. We have to welcome God's word into our hearts. Did you know it's really impossible for us to be wise and to teach others and instruct others and warn others if the word of God hasn't found its place in our hearts? We can have it up here and we could be a legalist probably, you understand? But when the word of God comes alive in our hearts, we're full of compassion. We're full of tender mercies. We know that we're nothing. Amen. We know that Jesus is everything. We know that we're not better than anyone else. We know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Amen. But in Christ, thank God, we're cleansed. And we can stand in all of that grace. So reading the Bible, studying through the Bible, singing songs and spiritual songs unto the Lord. How wonderful is that? You know, the Bible tells us in James 5:13, it says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know what I did this afternoon? I don't know if I ought to tell you or not. Anybody remember Eddie Arnold? Thank you, the old people. Anyway, I was so upset over the children in Damascus. I started singing an Eddie Arnold song. You remember that song? Make the world go away. Remember that? Get it off. How's it go, Daryl? Get it off my shoulders. The next part's really good, you know. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away. I really wanted it to go away. That's why I said earlier, have you ever become world weary with the tragedies, the things that we see? You know, singing to the Lord, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, things that the Holy Spirit just brings. You ever just make up a song on the way to work? I make them up all the time. I think God likes them. I mean, I know you wouldn't like them, and my wife certainly wouldn't like them, because when she's in the car, I don't sing. But, you know, you just make them up. And you just start singing, and, you know, you might even steal the music from a hymn or something, just add your own words. And you say, Bill, man, you are a weird. Yes, I am. You know the first song in the Bible, remember? Where was it at? Exodus chapter 15, remember? Oh, they were shouting, God, oh, how you've triumphantly and so forth, the things that you've done. You took us through the Red Sea. They're all having a party, and everybody, 2 million people are singing together. Think about that, huh? The second song mentioned in the Bible, boy, you're talking about the opposite of that. It's in Exodus chapter 32. Remember Moses and Joshua there on the mount? And they heard, Joshua said, Moses, I think I hear war in the camp. And Moses, they start climbing down. Moses said, no, that's not the sound of war. That's the sound of sin. That's the sound of singing. That's the sound of a party. Boy, I tell you, we want to just sing to the Lord the good things. Amen. You know, there's a famine in the land today, a lack of teaching and understanding God's eternal word, and there's something about singing. You know, I tell you, whenever we, like Paul and Silas, you think about in Acts chapter 16, there they were in the sewer, literally, the dungeon, the lowest part of the dungeon, in stocks and stretched out, and it was at midnight. And remember what Paul and Silas started doing? They started singing unto the Lord. You know why they did that? I'll tell you why. For number one, they had the Word of God dwelling in their hearts. Amen. Number two, they had Christ ruling, the peace of Christ ruling in their hearts. I would not be surprised. I'm not trying to add to Acts chapter 16. But you know, there's something about sometimes when you're going through it, like maybe Paul and Silas, of course, not to that degree. But I'm saying that, you know, the Bible says in Job 35:10, God who gives us songs in the night. Sometimes the Lord says maybe to Paul, maybe he said to Paul that night, the umpire, the divine umpire living in his heart, maybe the Lord said, sing, Paul, just sing. Maybe Silas looked at him and said, are you out of your mind? I don't know, and I'm not saying he did. But I can tell you, if I was stretched out on the stocks, been beaten like Paul, ended up like that, midnight, not knowing if I was going to live the next moment or the next hour, and they started singing, and there was a great earthquake, and the jailer runs in. You know the story. His whole household gets saved. Listen, there's something about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. The Bible tells us to become that living sacrifice. It tells us that we can be, you know, not conformed to the world. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, getting the Word of God into you, believing the Word of God. And it tells us why. So that we may prove. That means to experience it. To prove something means you experience it. To prove that perfect will of God, what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God in our lives. So we let the peace of Christ umpire in our hearts. We let the Word of Christ dwell in our hearts. And then we do one more thing. We let the name of Jesus live in our hearts. And we do as He would do. Look at verse 17. And whatever you do, that means whatever it is, no matter what it is, whatever you do in word, that means when we speak, in deed, that means what we do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To act in the name or speak in the name of another here means to be that person's representative. We are Christ ambassadors. Amen? We're here representing here. And what are we to do? Now listen, do we have the peace of God? Yes. Do we stand in the peace of God 24/7? Yes. Now listen, that means that we need to bring the peace of God, the supernatural peace of God, to others, because it said there, look at it, whatever you do, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible says in Romans 10:15, it says, and how shall they preach unless they're sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now listen, we have the gospel of peace, amen? All of you do. All of us are in outreach. We're all people in outreach. Wherever you are, it's always outreach. And let me say something. You know, a lot of people try to isolate themselves from the world. Don't do that. I mean, we're in this world. We're just not of it. Insulate yourselves, but don't isolate yourselves. No, listen. We have the gospel of peace. And when you preach, when you share the word of God, the gospel of peace with others, let me ask you a question. Should you expect warfare? Yes, hello. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's why it says in Ephesians 6:15, it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, we can have peace in the battle and we can stand firm. The word preparation means firmness. It means readiness. It means firm footing. It means we're never going to lose our balance. No matter what comes up against us, we can go through those hard times, even when the enemy whispers, and I've heard it just like you have, well, where is your God now? You know what I do? I'll tell him, you want to know where he is? He's living in my heart. You want me to tell you where he is? I'll tell you. Let me tell you about the one who never leaves me, the one who never forsakes me, and the one who is getting ready to crush you. Let me give you the scripture, Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. It's God who crushes, but he uses your feet. Isn't that good news? Let me read it to you again. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Your feet. Luke 19. It says, behold, Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Think about that for a minute. Do you believe that? I believe that. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:18, it says the wicked one touches us not. Touches us not. Now, he may tempt us, but he doesn't touch us. He'll never be able to get his hands on us. Oh, we can open the door for him. Don't get me wrong. Ephesians 4:27. We don't want to do that. But he can never repossess us what belongs to God. Amen? It's very important, a true believer. Okay? Now, listen. The Bible tells us that you are strong. 1 John 2:14, you are strong, for the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We are in the overcomer. We are in Jesus Christ. The last word there I just read was word or deed. That takes in everything in life. Amen? So Proverbs 4:23, let me close with one more scripture, that scripture and one more. Guard, protect your heart with all diligence, meaning above everything else. For out of it, meaning out of your heart, flow or spring the issues of life. Jesus said in John 14:27, he said, peace I leave with you. And then he said something that's almost incredible. And Jesus said, and my peace I give to you. I give it to you. We have the gift of peace. Amen? Not only that, it is our possession. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. And then he says something, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I believe that, don't you? I'm holding on to that myself. Essentials of the heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We have the divine umpire, amen.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill begins the final message from this series, Essentials of the Heart. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks everyone for listening today, and enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.